Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach the throne room of your word, we ask, Father, that as I speak the oracles of you, Father, I pray that your people understand and receive the revelation of what I've got to share. And Father, in sharing it, I pray that they get it and run with it as never before, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to talk about a word that is so cheaply used amongst Christians, but yet it has such a powerful meaning. People have used this particular word in such a way that it literally brought a reproach to it. And yet it is a wonderful, beautiful word. And it is the word sanctified. The word sanctified. Now, I've run across believers that said, I'm sanctified in the Holy Ghost. And they didn't know more what they were saying than the man on the moon. They had a religious concept of the term, but they didn't really know what it meant. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here, notice verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, there's one verse that we don't pay much attention to. That's verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. The word sanctified is a very interesting word. And that's what we're doing on Wednesday night. We're sanctifying you. We just started the book of 1 John. We've already had an interesting trip with a gentleman during the service. I hope those of you that were not here, it was pretty interesting. Thing that amazed me, that he made statements without not even hearing what I had to say. But I could tell right away he was not sanctified. What does this word sanctify mean? It means to set apart. To make a distinction and set them apart. That's what that word means. To make a distinction and set it apart. The reason I went to this verse is because it's got some words before it and after it that are very important. Notice that he says, no flesh should have this glory. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek. Instead of the word but, I'm going to put the word and there. That no flesh should glory in his presence, and of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is a very interesting verse because when I saw that it was laid out in the order it was supposed to be, just till recently I never understood what sanctification really meant. Literally, the term sanctification is always used in what I call the perfect tense. A lot of people don't understand the Greek language, don't understand what that is. Maybe some of you do here. But you know the perfect tense is very interesting. It means because of a past tense action that had taken place. Something in the past. It doesn't necessarily even pinpoint when that happened. But it took place in the past. And because of this act that took place in the past, that work continues on to the present. And as it's operating in the present, the same thing that took place in the past that now is at the present is going to continue into the future. Amen? And the very thing that's very interesting is, what is it about our redemption that is future tense? Can anybody tell me? The redemption of our body. We're going to let loose of this thing. Now, those of you that have been following through on Wednesday evenings before 1 John, you know what I'm talking about. Because we've made a recent discovery. Al called me on the phone one morning and said it just excited him what we've been teaching. But you know, a lot of people don't hear it. You know why? Familiarity always breeds what you call a lack of interest. Jesus had that problem. He went to his own hometown and they wouldn't even receive from him because they only knew him according to his flesh. He lived with them. And he had something to offer them and they couldn't receive because they only knew him after the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. The knowledge of God's increasing, people. It's increased in this body this last year tremendously. So much so that the reapers are starting to overtake the sowers. That's not good. This word sanctified, to set apart, used in the perfect tense, it means when one is sanctified, he's in that perpetual state. Now, what would he be sanctified from? Well, let's go over to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And let's go to verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, the word for Spirit here has a capital S, but you can put a small s there. Because he was not referring to the Holy Spirit here. He was referring to the born-again Spirit. You are sanctified. You're justified by what God has done in your heart. He literally created a new life in nature in your inner man. Now, how he did it in the inner man is that he injected his life and his nature into your inner being. But in order for him to do that, he had to sanctify you in the body. Now, what I meant by it is that circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the flesh. And what he's saying is that he sanctified your inner man from your outer man. That is what he was referring to when he says you are sanctified. And before you were sanctified, your spirit and your body were one. They literally had an existence as one. And some believers still walk that way. They don't know how to separate themselves from spirit and from flesh. They don't know how to do that. Now, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's go to verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Here we've got that word sanctified again. But you know what this word? Notice the verse before it. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what? These things that would bring a dishonor. That is of the earth and that is of wood. Then he will be a vessel unto honor. After our teaching on Wednesday night, I made the statement to my body that I am going to be re-water baptized. Now that's an issue that I'm dealing with in my own heart. That is not something that any of you need to do. But when I did it religiously, not knowing what I was really doing. I was being an outer witness to an inward revelation that was not in me. I really did not make a commitment in my life to be sanctified from my physical being. I knew that I'm burying the old man and resurrecting the new. You know what I mean? But I still lived out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though I was water baptized. Now my son said he wants to do it with me because he finally got the revelation of what I was saying. But now listen to me. Pay close attention. Your walk as a believer requires that you walk in grace, completely out of the dictates of your flesh, right over into the life of your spirit. Yes. Believers are required to learn how to live out of their spirit. Yes. Now, I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to look at some verses that really used to bug me. They don't now. Matter of fact, this new light that I had come into out of Romans 5 was so hard on my flesh, I didn't know how to handle it because of the fruit on my own tree. But in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said some very interesting things. Verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not complete the desire of the flesh." Oh. You think that's hard? You might have a big capital S on there, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because if it's the Holy Spirit and you're not doing the desire of the Holy Spirit, then you're in rebellion to the Holy Spirit. But really what it should have been is a small S. The Spirit of the new birth that you'd receive when you were born again. Because there where you were sanctified and you were justified. Do you know you cannot justify yourself? Only God can justify you. Now notice this. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In the Greek, there is no article in this verse. And if there is no article there, it literally does not bring identification to something. It brings quality of character. And so it would be better translate, "This I say then, that if you walk in spirit, you will not complete the desire of your flesh." Literally, quality of his character would be in you. Because the term "led of the Spirit" over in Romans 8:14, to be led of the Spirit literally is talking about being brought up to maturity as an adult son and walking in maturity. And yet a lot of believers don't really desire that. They want the bells and whistles that come with the move of God, but they don't want the transformation that pleases God. Because I got news for you right now. Any of you that are walking in your flesh, you cannot please God. Right. There were things that I had allowed in my own life just recently that I cannot do now with this new insight because it does not please God. It has a desire on my flesh big time, but it doesn't please God. Now, it has nothing to do with the football playoffs, believe me. That comes with qualification. Now, verse 17 is very interesting because this has the article for the flesh. Lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So we have the Spirit with one desire and the flesh the other. Do you know what that's saying? Saying you got a war going on. Before I got born again, I was fine. But after I got born again, responsibility hit me and I didn't know where it was coming from. And now I know. I have a spiritual man that doesn't want nothing to do with my physical man. And I have a physical man that doesn't want anything to do with my spiritual man. Do you guys ever think of yourself that way? Yep. Gee, I'm two people running around. Yeah. You know what? I heard some of these theologians that are real intellectual. You know what they say? They say Jesus was schizo. He had two personalities speaking out of him. And you know what? He did. When you got born again, you inherited a brand new you. Remember we discovered that in Romans chapter 6? We showed you one of the verses that should have been translated to a new you. You know what? Before I got born again, I only knew Jan. But after I got born again, I inherited a new me. And I found that this new me doesn't like the old me. And I found Scripture says you got to put him off. And you know the deep revelation of that putting off? You guys want me to illustrate that for you? I'm going to show you it I'm going to show you a mystery in deep revelation of how you're to put off the old man according to Scripture. Here's how you do it. Are you ready? Catch this now. I don't want it to pass you. Voila. That's what it means. I hope I had no spots on my shirts anywhere. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Why? I've got to purge myself from this outer garment. And you know what bugged me in Scripture? It never does give you any teaching on how to psychologically put him down. It just said, put off. And so when I looked up the meaning of put off, it literally means what it says, take it off. Yeah, but it's got to be a process. Do you know what, this morning, what I want to share with you? Is that Adam has done us such an injustice. And I thank God I can blame him for how I ended up. Not hardly. But I do see that the church is going to go into a transition pretty soon. Because I don't think the body of Christ is going to continue in the state that it's in, permitting the knowledge of good and evil to work in it. Because that tree came from as a result of the fall. And yet people don't understand it. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, are you ready? It contained the ability. And only God made the tree. It was designed I personally believed it was designed as a means that God was going to use that tree to incarcerate our outlaw. That's the only thing that I can determine why he planted it there in the garden. Is because he was going to use the knowledge of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, to get Adam to act in his behalf to incarcerate that outlaw. Because it says hell was created for the devil and his bunch, not for mankind. Are you following me? Now, the thing that I had discovered about being sanctified and justified is that the process of the cross, and that's where Paul was coming from over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, I don't know anything save the cross and him crucified. Now, the Lord later on says, what does it profit a man though he gains his whole soul, or he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Are you following me? Now, going back to the garden, I hope you guys get a hold of this, because it's only fresh in my mind. So I know it'll be fresh in your mind. I want you to get a hold of this. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Friday morning, the Lord woke me up, and I was up very early, and I was praying, and he had me. I know the Lord's trying to speak to me. And he had me going back to Genesis here, and I didn't have any of my resource material, but I went to it and filled it in. But I want you to pay real close attention to me. What was the knowledge? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, this is what I discovered in Scripture. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is joining the body and the spirit together as one. It is the knowledge of how you join your physical man with your spiritual man and make them one. Now, what did Adam and Eve have before the fall? They had a body. They had a sensual body. They recognize it, but here's what the body did not have. It did not have any knowledge, no knowledge of how to exist through the physical man. Adam and Eve operated out of their spirit through their spiritual eyes. Are you following me? Their body only contained, it was a suit. It only contained the ability to touch this world. It could see, it could smell, it could taste, it could feel. But it had no knowledge of how to operate on its own, apart from God. The knowledge was not there. Are you getting this? Karen, I know you're getting it because of the things you asked me. Are you getting this? And when I saw this, I went into shock. That's why Romans 5 opened up. That's why Dean's statement that when he got back into his body said, you'll never do that to me ever again. Do you know what your body is? Your body is an unjust judge. It has no regard for mankind, nor God. Only itself. That is flesh. Now, when it said I'd had a desire, my spirit had a desire, I didn't know what spiritual desire was till I got it recognized. And I know what flesh desire is. Just introduce a new handgun to me, and I'll tell you what flesh desire is. Your flesh has desires. But you know what? Unless your desire of your spirit is loving God more than desire your flesh will rule you every time. Right. Now, here's what happened. Follow me real close. God told Adam, He says, in the day you partake of that tree, what's going to happen is dying, thou shalt die. In the Hebrew, it's two deaths. Well, we know the one death would have to be spiritual. And the other one would have to be physical. He was talking about the results of the act. That if you partake of that tree, there's a result that's going to happen to you. He says, first of all, your spirit will be separated from me, and you will become one with your physical body, is what he was saying. Now, how do you become one with your physical body? When you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, listen to me real closely. Your senses wake up to a new light or new knowledge of how to be its own God.
Yes, exactly right.
And you know what Satan told him? He told him the truth. He told Eve the truth. He said, the day you eat of that tree, you'll be as gods. And you know what? Jesus said that over in the New Testament. He said, has my Father not declared you as gods? The minute the fall took place, mankind lost his ability to serve God because man has now gone his own way. And we got Christians today don't know how to be led of the Spirit because they're too busy going their own way. So Adam knew. He was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. And he allowed the woman to be brought in with that thing. Now, are you ready? What is the tree of life? Oh, I've heard some real religious things. That was Jesus in the midst of the garden. I want you to catch this. You're sanctified. And your body has been declared its position. It's called graveyard material. And the wisdom of God will sanctify you from its authority. But if it can't purge you from your body, you'll walk out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
You need to listen to your God conscience. And when it tells you to stop doing something, you better do it. Because you are violating the mind of your spirit. Now listen to me. Adam and Eve needed to do something so that they could live physically forever. They were told to go to a tree in the midst of the garden called the tree of life. I'm going to the tree of life. And they were told to eat the fruit of it. I did pick something up off that. Something happened to me. Whew. You want to know what the tree of life is? It's not the tree of Zoe. It's the Hebrew word K. Not K's cosmetics. Although you probably look pretty good. It's called the tree of raw flesh. It's the same word used over in Proverbs 4 when it says, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying, for they are health or medicine to all your flesh and life to those who find them. And the word there for life is K. It is life to your raw flesh. Well, if it was medicine, that would help. But he says you have to attend to my word. You have to pay attention to it. Why? Because if you don't, you'll have a medium between you and God called body.
Yep.
Now listen. Adam went and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what it said happened to him? It said, the eyes of them both were opened. The first thing that entered their heart was fear.
Yeah.
Second thing, they knew they were naked. And they hid when God came in the cool of the garden, for they were afraid. You know what? It's my opinion, and I think I can give this opinion. Just food for thought. I don't believe God came down and visited them physically. I believe that God communicated them just the way that He does with us now, through the Spirit. Now, He might have occasionally come to visit them, but on this visit, God was not coming to find out where they were at. He knew what had taken place. There was a disconnection, spiritual disconnection between them and Him. And He came and approached them. And He says, "Who told you you were naked?" He didn't comment on the fear part, because the fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. And when you start walking your Christianity out back through your flesh, you will lose the fear of God over your life. And you will do despite to the spirit of grace that you inherited. Are you following what I'm saying? And so as a result of that, Adam now fell into his flesh. Eve fell into her flesh. And now they had the knowledge, because it says the eyes were opened, and they knew. I looked up the word eyes, and it means knowledge of the senses. And I looked up the word open, and it is literally talking about the physical eye. And so what He was saying there, that when they fell, the knowledge of that tree entered their soul, and now they began to see how they could live out through their physical man apart from God. They became their own God. And whether you like it or not, we don't have time to get into scriptures, but you have no right to allow your body to tell you anything until God is first in it. Then your body can have whatever it wants. Did you know I can enjoy the Seahawk game? Yeah. Out of my spirit, I can watch a Seahawk game. Why? Because God's first in my life. I can do anything I want in the natural, providing my spirit is leading me. You know what that means? All things are lawful for me, but all things aren't expedient. Because some things can't stop me. Now here's what we learned. We've learned that before man gets born again, he fell into his physical being. Are you ready? The sin nature was not operating in a man's spirit, like I taught. Sin nature was operating in a man's physical body. Physical body. And guess what? After you got born again, it's still there. And this flesh, in its nature, has a desire against anything that's spiritual in you. And that's why Paul said, even if my inner man agreed, and he does say that in Romans 7, my inner man is in agreement with the law. But I find another law at work in my members, working against the law of my spirit. Are you following me? Bringing me into captivity. How? Because the law of sin and death hates the law of liberty through the spirit of your inward man. And guess how it really functions? When God tells you to do something, it kicks up and says, we will do the opposite. That's the nature of sin and death. And whenever your body is leading you, everything you touch will die. Because your body can't do any righteousness. It can't even, the works of it cannot even be declared unless your spirit is in control of your body. And that's the only time the redemptive work of Christ will work in you. And Christians have been told a lie. The grace of God is not on your flesh. It is on your spiritual growth. Are you guys getting this? When I caught this, it's only been a few weeks ago, I sat and bawled like a baby because I could discern the fruit on my own tree. I had to relook at everything again and say, God, is it permissible? And there were some things that were, and there were some things that aren't. And do you think my flesh likes the things that aren't? No, he has a love for them. And I thought this thought before God. I said, God, I feel like I'm turning religious. Because you know what a religious person's like? He says, I'll tell you how you stay unreligious. He says, don't let your discipline be another man's. The only thing you are to owe another man is not to bring him to the same discipline that you're taking. It's to love him where he's at. Because he has to come to that place in his own heart. You have to receive. And guess what? Now I said, well, God, how far do you take this? He says, oh, aren't you sweet? He says, I'm going to take you as far as how you think about another man that might not even be doing what he's supposed to. And I said, God, you're making this thing real hard. Now I got to go and change my way of thinking. He says, you might notice those who are living out of their body, but your mind's not allowed to go there and judge them. You're to love them where they're at, but you're to sanctify yourself where you are. Somebody came up to me and said, well, Pastor, are you really going to get re-water baptized? I don't really feel the Lord's telling me to do that. And I said, because he ain't. I said, so why should you even feel about that way about it? It doesn't matter. I just want to make sure that when I get water baptized as your pastor, I want to make sure that you know what I'm doing. I'm giving you a testimony. This body will no longer rule me. That's all I'm doing. Because that's what water baptism is about, is a testimony to everyone that this is what you're doing. What is water baptism? What is water baptism? Yeah, I know, Aaron. I'm violating the wisdom of the camera. This is flesh taking over. People, we will always have the flesh to contend with. But I've learned something. When you give yourself over to the leadership of your body every time, you enter into Satan's realm. He is the God of this world. He is the Lord of dust. And that's why God approached Satan and said, Satan, now that you've done this, you've inherited the dust. But there's going to come a seed that will separate you two. And you'll be at war with each other. Boy, when you start seeing this for what it is, are you guys getting it? Do you got what I'm saying? That's why when we're in the book of James, everybody's finally getting it. The book of James goes along with the law of the Spirit of life, the law of liberty. No man qualifies to handle money with the blessing of God on it unless God got his heart. Because money cannot be handled by the physical man. Amen. That's what James teaches. Yep. He says the only reason man has allowed the cares of money to take him out is because he has a lust for money over God. And that man cannot expect to not go into a test or a trial thinking that God's going to bail his flesh out. You have to bail yourself out of your flesh through your spirit. That's why no man can serve money and God. It's impossible. God told me he's given men over to the law of the Spirit. And he said when they do that, the minute they do that, the blessings will pour on them that cannot be stopped. He said, my church has not begun to find out what financial prosperity is about until my people learn what the difference is between body and spirit. He says, once that's sanctified in my church, when the wisdom sanctifies a man, then his complete redemption will come forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Comes first wisdom, amen, and justification, righteousness, sanctification, then a redemption. You have to be sanctified for the blessings of God to flow on you. Sanctified. I've been sanctified. Well, I'll tell you what. When the knowledge to the senses opens up the physical eye and everything now is judged by what I see, then I know I'm operating out of the wrong tree. Now, I think it is so beautiful in closing. So beautiful when when the writer of Hebrews, which is Paul, said strong meat belongeth to them who have their physical senses exercised thereby. The word exercised is a very interesting word. It literally comes from an athletic term. It means a derivative of to strip, to be left naked. And it is a term they used in athletes in back in that day. When an athlete would train and work, he would strip himself of all clothing and he would train naked. He would be loosed of all encumbrance for training. Are you following me? And that's what it says. Strong meat belongeth to them who have their senses literally stripped or are laid bare before them. They can discern between their physical being and their spiritual being. And they're never given into their physical being, only their spiritual being, because they've trained themselves to do that. Whew, I hope you're getting this. God told me just recently, now I'm entering into the fullness of what my ministry is really all about. Because the more light you get of the Word, the less appealing you're going to be for the flesh. Because the flesh desires against the Spirit against the flesh. But there are believers, and there are believers in this building right here. You want more of God. You want more of God. I know you do or you wouldn't be here. You want more of God. I want more of God. We're going to go and find more of God. But it's going to be hard on your flesh. It's going to be hard on your flesh. That's why the Lord gave me a psalm out of Isaiah, and I went back to the psalm, and I was shocked. He said, son, the more light you get of my word, the less opposition the body has in your ministry. And he says, they will feel the effect of that. They will get to the point they won't know what to do with themselves, because they don't know how to go on spiritually, and they don't know how to exist where they are naturally. They'll get in a state of confusion, and he says, no, ravenous beasts will be allowed to stay under the word of God, that something's got to break. Because the Word of God will not allow the two to cohabit. If He set two separate trees up, then why would He do that? Because He doesn't want you living out of your body and your spirit at the same time. And then go. Matter of fact, Adam and Eve said, oh, wow, now that I'm my own God, I can go back to that tree. And I can eat of it. And God said, if they do that, all the nutrients and everything they need for the physical body, they'll live forever in that state, and I ain't going to have it. And that's why the longevity of man was not because God decreed a shortness of time. It's because man physically learned how, over the course of a long time, learned how to die physically. Because he was dead spiritually. And you know what? David prophesied it. God had to declare the right fullness of time for Christ to come, or else body would wipe itself out. No man would live. David declared 75 years. It's about right. And you know what? That's long enough for you to find Jesus. Yep. It's the eighth day of circumcision. The eighth day of circumcision. You go through two Sabbaths and you get sanctified. Whew. Did you guys get something here? Some of you are saying, yeah, I don't know what to do with it. Stand up. Sorry I went a little long. But I wanted to get this across to all of you. That's why God said, you better put a cherubim over this garden. It's got to die out. I don't want man living that way forever.